is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 584. My name is Lisa Sheps. I am joined by co-host extraordinaire and bunhead extraordinaire, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello, bonjour.
Bonjour, you are listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. We are homegrown and studio-driven during the pandemic. We'll be back.
The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. This world, oh yeah.
How does a system work with democratically elected leaders, chosen every 4 years by well-trusted procedures so everyone can help fulfill the Founding Fathers' vision, if people don't take part in the decision?
Who could envision 4 years ago, those who sat outnumbered 100 million. A third of us weren't willing to choose a direction, and 80,000 voters across 3 states was all it took to swing the whole election.
Then the midterm.
It is Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. On the show today, we have the Georgetown Palace Theater, who is already back in business doing shows out in their parking lot. And then, of course, Nicole and I will talk about theater here, now, and everywhere in Chicago, New York, and Austin, Texas, nowhere else. And it is the last day for Offstage and On the Air membership drive. So call that number, 512-472-5667, or go online. You have plenty of time while you listen to this.
And I don't vote. I don't vote.
Yo, I'm Fergie Phillip, and I vote every time. Never missed an election, and I always rhyme. You registered to vote. It's easy, friend. Only takes a few minutes from the start to the end.
Yes, yes, I love voting, and I'm feeling fine. In most states, you can register to vote online. Other states can make it difficult, it's true. You gotta print it out and mail it back. Yo, that's on you.
Bruh, bruh. I'm inquisitive, fixative, and the quickest is vote early in person. Take the initiative. So listen, that's enough of our promoting. Can you commit to all your friends that you'll be voting?
Good luck, but there's too much going on. I'm safer at home till this pandemic is gone.
So stay at home, no need to feel disobedient, cause there's a way of voting that is just as expedient.
Vote by mail.
Cause I reckon for a better election, then we better make the voting accessible.
Vote by mail.
Mail voting is a stamp, paper can't be hacked, get a stamp and make it addressable.
Vote by mail.
And the mail's collectible, professional, do not be skeptical.
Vote by mail.
The party's resistant.
Vote by mail.
Vote by mail from a distance.
Vote by mail.
Vote by mail from a distance.
Vote by mail.
It's safer and it's simple for logistics.
Vote by mail.
Gotta see the body numbers legible.
Vote by mail. Vote by mail. Vote by
Wow. How do you rap so fast?
Can we get back to politics?
Sure.
Yo, the mail is rigged and fake.
It's not, but your concerns are valid.
I heard there's voter fraud and those who want to change my ballot.
That's actually really rare, but if you're nervous, then I get it.
Don't like the mail? Then vote in person early, then don't sweat it.
Okay, I'm in.
That's great. Now you can make our country stronger. Now on election night, the mail-in votes, well, those take longer.
If there's still more to count, will those votes be too late for it?
No, they'll keep counting, in which case we'll have to wait for it.
Dear friends of Hamilton, it's 2020 and our need for you is only growing.
It's easy and fun.
Dear friends of Hamilton, whenweallvote.org/Hamilton can get you going.
I'm getting it done.
Register to vote.
Register to vote. Here comes November 3rd.
Register to vote.
Register to vote so every voice is heard.
Dear friends of Hamilton,
it's 2020 and our need for you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Our nation is asking to hear your voice.
Oh.
November is coming and so is your joy.
Oh.
Now I've said this before and it matters a lot.
Oh.
Do not throw away your shot.
Oh.
I know it takes time and to sacrifice.
Oh.
It's fun to vote once, do not vote twice.
Oh.
If you're hearing my voice, you know what to do.
My future depends on this.
Yours does too. Thanks to the Ham Fam for putting this together.
For more information about voting, visit whenweallvote.org/Hamilton. Do it today. History has its eyes on.
I know that you all understand that. Let's make sure that everyone in our community does too. Thanks again, everybody. Now let's get this done.
Wasn't that incredible?
That was incredible.
Well, I know you haven't seen the entire video yet, but it's pretty, you know, and I do have to admit, and I still say it, that I am in Hamilton fatigue. I mean, there's just so much Hamilton, but when a franchise like Hamilton does something as important as get out the vote, I have to support it.
It's almost like a research. Do you remember when we were in the 80s and MTV and everyone first came out and the whole rock the vote? And like, I just said to my brother recently, I haven't felt that resurgence of that energy of the importance to vote since that whole movement back then. But now we have all these different outlets to get it out.
Right. Well, I'd like to say we felt it a little bit in 2008. I mean, that seemed to be a pretty important vote, at least on the left.
But the one power, it just seems as heavy as it did in the, you know.
Oh, yes, yes. And speaking of that, so I just want to let folks know that your last day to register to vote is Monday, October 5th. I will come to your house with registration material and register you. You don't have to do anything other than fill it out and give it to me.
How did they get hold of you to do that?
Lisa at offstageonair.com. I swear I will come to your house with the stuff. I am a volunteer registrar. I can do it.
And if when you're there, Lisa, I bet you'll even give folks a jazz hand.
Well, you know, I'm not really a jazz hand kind of person, but I will give them a Snickers. The other dates that are important is the first day of early voting here in Austin begins on October 13th. The last day to apply for a ballot by mail, and this is they have to receive it by this date, is October 23rd. So I would suggest doing that right now. And the last day of early voting is October 30th. And of course, Election Day is November 3rd. This is important, folks. No matter what side of the issues you are on, there is a lot to consider this voting season. So please, 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 register to vote, and not only do that, but vote. And I will tell you again, if you need me to come to your house, no matter where you live, well, let's put a 35-mile radius limit on it. I'm talking to you, Carrie Lee Biddle. I am not driving to Wisconsin. I will come with a voter registration packet to give you. And on election day or early voting days, you want me to drive you to the polls? I will drive you to the polls. Wear a mask. Are you registered to vote, Nicole Shiro?
I am, and I was just about to mention, folks can check, make sure that they're registered to vote by checking online and double checking that it's the correct address, that it's where they're currently at. And there's also a great list online to see what you're voting on besides nationally, but locally, because we have a lot locally to vote on right now too.
Right. I will argue that your vote counts so much more for local and state elections than it does for president because of our wonderful electoral college. And I guess I should say this, that the opinions expressed on Offstage and on the Air are those of us and not the staff or board of Co-op. So it's really, really, really important. So yeah, another good way to find out if you're registered to vote and get a lot of information about voting is go to votesaveamerica.org. You can find out information about your state. You could also adopt another state to help get out the vote in those states. So okay. I would suggest doing that. For the point of information, you know, we have a senatorial race that's going on here in Texas, and that is between John Cornyn, the incumbent, and MJ Hagar, the, the non-incumbent. Anyway, she, of course, has a great ad marketing campaign as she always does, and she sort of flipped the script on how political ads are done, which I think is sort of cool, regardless of your party.
She also likes theater.
We love this about her. The last thing I'm going to talk about with voting, you could get me to come directly to you, or you could go to Co-op at 38th and a half and Airport this Saturday and Sunday from 10 o'clock to, I think, 1 o'clock. And I will be there along with the League of Women Voters and other people registering folks to vote. You can get information at koop.org. Do it. Come register. Be a voter. Come to Co-op. I'll come to your house. I'll give you a Snickers. I'll give you one jazz hand if that's what you want. Remember, folks, it's our membership drive. Dial 512-472-5667. Or what's the website, Nicole?
KOOP.org. Big donate button right there.
Do it. Give to Co-op. Keep us on the air.
Boom.
There's so much stuff that's going on. Did you see the Emmys?
No, I did not. I mean, I saw like bits and pieces of it, but no, I didn't sit and watch the Emmys.
I didn't either. I came in and out of it, but it was all done virtually. It was actually kind of interesting. They would
That's
announce.
That's what I wanted to see is the interesting of how they did it, but yeah. I just can't sit through award shows right
they,
now.
Yeah, they would announce a winner, and somebody in that winner's house would pop in with the award. Mm-hmm. And everybody gave their acceptance speeches via Zoom or whatever they used. But Schitt's Creek, S-C-H-I-T-T-S, Schitt's Creek ran away with comedy, which was quite a surprise, but well-deserved, if you ask me.
Yeah, and they were all in a room together in Canada, so they had one of the inflatable tuxedo COVID outfit things, guys that come to give them their awards. It was in like an inflatable tuxedo outfit.
Well, everybody needs a inflatable tuxedo outfit. Anyway, not a lot of theater news in the Emmys. Of course, there was some theater folks that won. One of the ones I really love is Billy Crudup, who won Supporting Actor for The Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston. I thought, if you saw that series, which I did, I thought he did such a great
He's
job.
I've just always thought he is some serious raw talent that people don't pay attention enough to him. He is
some SRT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. So I am really excited to see this Angels in America benefit on October 8th. This has just a cacophony of stars involved, including Patti LuPone, Laura Linney, Glenn Close, Jeremy O'Harris, all sorts of people. And this is a benefit for the Foundation for AIDS Research. And this is not a Zoom reading. This is something so much more. So also Brandon Uranowitz, Brian Tree Henry, the angel is played by four people. Oh, let me see if I can find the list of these people. It's really, really amazing. Many people are playing multiple, many actors are playing the same character. So the four actresses playing the angel are Patti LuPone, Linda Edmond, Nikki James, and Daphne Ruta Vega. I mean, this is amazing.
How do you see this? Where does one get more info?
It will happen on October 8th at 8:30. You can find the link on, it doesn't say where, but I'm sure I'll find it before we're done talking and see exactly where it is. But I'm sure if you were to Google Angels in America, there is a trailer that's available on YouTube is amazing. And it shows how the angel is done because they have, everybody is recording this in their own house. And Glenn Close talks about how she had to do the lighting and the makeup because she's playing Roy Cohn, who is in the hospital bed that what's his name did in the movie. Such a great job. His name. Al Pacino in the movie. But this just looks amazing.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. cast, how like so crazy from what you think of them as in roles and the talent, like, but also what a great way to split up the characters and shoot. Yeah. Wow.
It's amazing. I don't want to give anything away, but you will see Alan Cumming, Whoopi Goldberg, and Jake Gyllenhaal in this as well, amongst others. Viewing information is found at thegreatworkbegins.org. And if you click on, if you go to offstageonair.com and click on the video, it says Angels in America trailer. In the YouTube underneath, it has all that information. And that trailer is so well worth watching.
I will be checking that out here soon.
Yes,
you? I did. Did you see the Noel Coward thing I sent you?
I did. That looked cute. That. It was called Noel Coward. I just lost the
Marvelous Party.
Marvelous Party, which is an allusion to his poem, Marvelous Party, or song. Anyway, all-star cast. Tell folks about it.
Let's see. I mean, I'm trying to think of it. First of all, Kush Jumbo, who I love from The River.
Do you love her?
I love her.
I love her as well. I know you saw her on Broadway, but I love her from The Good Wife and The Good Fight. But I really love her because of her name.
First of all, it's a great name.
That's it.
She's a lovely English girl. Oh my gosh, let's see. Dame Judi Dench. Oh my gosh.
Easy for you to say.
I couldn't get that out. Dame Judi Dench. Let's see. B.B. Newworth, Alan Cumming, Emma Thompson, Stephen Fry. I mean,
and these are a bunch of really short takes. It's about probably an hour worth of video, but it's each individual thing is less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, and they did it in part with the Noel Coward estate. I love Noel Coward, but it was such a round, again, a very eclectic roundabout group of individuals. And it was just so, I mean, there's probably about 50 all-star names, like the names I was listing. That's how many people, it was, oh, I enjoy it.
Agreed.
But you said the Alan Cumming, and I'm like, he's busy beaver, that little Alan Cumming.
Yeah, indeed he is. So we have two pieces of West Side Story news. And I do need to say this before we talk about the West Side Story news. Every time I turn on the movie or see the play, I want them to change the ending.
You might want to go back to Shakespeare and tell him to change Romeo.
Darn it. Well, at least in the movie, spoiler alert, only one of them dies. I mean, at least in West Side Story. Sorry, not the movie, West Side Story. But Steven Spielberg is filming a video of West Side Story with some incredible performers. And did you happen to see in Playbill, and you can see this, there's a link on our website. Did you happen to see the photos of the still shots from the video, from the movie?
Yes.
I think they look great.
Eye candy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally great. I mean, beautiful pieces. And Rita Moreno is in it, which still trying to figure out how this is working. She's playing, what's his name, who was the store owner that was with the white folks group. And she is a Latina. So I don't know how they're going to make that work. But they show a picture of her in her costume. Thank you. That was the word I was going to say. But it just really looks vibrant. If you think about the movie and how vibrant those colors were when they were dancing in the dance in the gym, it's got a very similar feel to it. Big fan of West Side Story.
I haven't watched the movie in a long time, and I said recently I would like to watch the movie. I haven't watched that movie in a long time. And here, this is random, but the other one I haven't watched in a long time and I'd like to see is Lawrence of Arabia. I don't know why, but
They just re-released it about 10 years ago.
Well, I've said to Casey, I said, these are two movies we should watch again soon.
Well, I have to admit that I have never seen Lawrence of Arabia. And when they re-released it with a new digital print, I tried to watch it but couldn't get through it. I'm sorry.
You know, things may change when you go back and watch it later. You go.
True. True. Other story about West Side Story is a virtual play about the making of West Side Story. And I actually think you sent this to me, didn't you?
You know what? I was about to say, wait a minute. I think I did read this. Did I send this to you?
I believe you did.
I sent you a lot this week. I'm sorry.
But this Mark Kudish is going to play Leonard Bernstein. And this is called Something's Coming. It's a new play by Ezra Brain. Really? No, Brian. Brain. Ezra Brain and J. Andrew Norris. And explores the creation of West Side Story. So what I don't understand, so this is going to be October 25th that it's going to air. And then what I don't understand, the last paragraph in this, it says digital readings of 19 additional titles will take place through October 31st. So evidently there's going to be 19 other things that are going to have people, the titles have yet to be announced, but some of the actors are Miguel Cervantes, Kevin Chamberlain, Eddie Cooper, Carmen Cusack, Eden Espinosa, Santino Fontana, Ava Noblezada, Tony Pinkins, and Mary Testa. I mean, this seems interesting.
I wish there was a video. My bun looks ridiculous, but I wish there was a video today because my face, my mouth has been open, or I've had a permagrin in everything you're saying today.
I know, it's amazing. There's lots of really good news, and some of it may even make it onto the show.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Encores announced that they're going to be doing The Life and Tap Dance Kid virtually this season, and a third show yet to be announced.
But who's the creative team? When I sent you this, I was blown away. I was like, because first of all, we've talked about The Life a lot. We've played a lot of music from it.
Well, The Life is going to be directed by Billy Porter and Henry.
There you go.
And it's adapted and directed by Billy Porter and Henry Krieger. And The Tap Dance Kid is going to be directed by Kenny Leone, choreographed by Jared Grimes. And I had to go back because The Tap Dance Kid, I thought I had some kind of connection to it back in the 80s. It opened in 83, I think. And I didn't. I just remember when it opened. And Alan Weeks was in it. I don't know if you know his work. He's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And Hinton Battle was nominated for a Tony for it.
Dooley Hill was in it. Speaking
of
your West Wing.
Oh, that's right. Dooley Hill was in it. Speaking of the West Wing.
And I saw Dooley when he did After Midnight.
Yes, you did.
That was so good.
Speaking of Dooley Hill, let's talk about The West Wing, which is going to get a benefit for When We All Vote on October 15th. So many of those people are going to come together to do the Hartsfield Landing. And indeed, you are correct. We did talk about this. This is going to be pre-recorded at the Los Angeles Orpheum Theater and will be shown in October.
But when you know what? When we spoke about it, we only spoke about three people because we got stuck on Rob Lowe's not aging. But I don't think we talked about some of the additional people they've added to the cast.
Well, we've got Martin Sheen, Allison Janney, Rob Lowe, Bradley Whitford, Dooley Hill, Janelle Mullooney, and Richard Schiff.
They've added, I think, like Lin-Manuel and some other people are now in it.
Lin-Manuel is going to make an appearance.
Yeah. I was about to say, I thought they added some people popping up in it.
Yeah, but I think, in my opinion, my humble opinion, the bigger news is the original cast. So there is a article, this is from Screen Rant by Kay McGuire. It's called How Hamilton Became a Movie and Why Other Broadway Musicals Won't. And we talked about, it is a very interesting read. We talked about when Hamilton came out, how so many others hopefully will do the same. But there are so many hurdles that they have to go through to get the rights. And most other shows don't have the deep pockets that Hamilton has. And most...
Or have the creator starring in it that's so tied to everything.
Right, but I think it's mostly about money. Yeah, so the, you know, most musicals, are lucky to break even. And even the most popular ones are don't, you know, relative to other things, don't make a whole bunch of money. Not when you think it cost $75 million to for Disney to buy the movie of Hamilton. $75 million.
Think of popular ones like Wicked or Rent and how long it took them to recoup.
Well, and Wicked has been talking about a movie for years and they can't make it work because you have all the unions and then you have all the unions for the theater and then the performer union, which is Equity and the Dramatists Guild, are then supplanted by the film version of those same unions, which is SAG-AFTRA.
So it's not just like it's the acting, the stage,
so
the writers.
So I was sort
it's
of
a
just
hot mess.
It's an interesting read to read this because I, after Hamilton, I was thinking we're going to see more, and now I'm not so sure.
Me too. Once I read that article, I was like, "What? Womp womp." But it made sense.
Exactly. All right, let's take a break, and we will come back and talk about local stuff. How's that sound?
Okay, sounds great.
The ballot box is a mystery. Though no one exactly understands why it works, we all trust.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and
Nicole.
So, of course, this is the last week of our membership drive and the last day for Offstage and On the Air's membership drive. And you can hear in the background that the dog really wants you to go to koop.org or 512-472-5667 and give to our newly minted online membership drive.
It was funny. Liz called me. She was so upset I didn't remind her about membership drive, but she got an email reminder. And she actually called. I said, no, there's actually people in the station. She said she had the best conversation. It was so exciting to call and talk to someone and not go online and do everything. And she really enjoyed it.
And of course, we're talking about Liz Barrett, who has a deep connection to this show.
Yeah, she supports us.
Yeah, she's great. Liz. We love Liz. So she dialed 512-472-5667. She could have also gone to koop.org and given. We have great prizes if that's your deal, or prizes. Thank you, gifts. We have co-op face mask. We have co-op t-shirt, which is a pretty cool thing this year. And co-op something else. Forgot what the other thing was.
Right? Wasn't it
bad? It's a tote bag. Tote bag!
And she called me back again afterwards to tell me how awesome the shirt is this year.
It's pretty awesome
design. I know.
So
it was a very exciting day for Liz.
Co-op membership drive, support co-op. And let's switch gears and talk about some local stuff. I want to remind folks about the Vortex. A couple of things about the Vortex. They were able to reopen the Butterfly Bar, which is a good thing. So over there in their courtyard, they have the Butterfly Bar, they have Patrizzi's, and now they've got theater. So they're doing a real cool thing. They've got the Vortex Odyssey. We had them on the show last week, so I'm not going to go into detail. But the Vortex Odyssey is happening, I believe. It starts this weekend. And the this coming weekend. And the online version, I believe, started last weekend. And you can see that now. And you get information at vortexrep.org. But I'm really thrilled. Bonnie Cullum over the Vortex and Melissa Vogt, they've been working really, really hard to keep theater alive in whatever way they can. And they're doing a great job. And they're doing it safe. And they're thinking about the safety of the audience and in many ways more important the performers. Well, not more important. They're thinking about safety for everybody, which is pretty incredible.
Yes.
The other thing I think folks might want to check out, and I believe we may have them on the show soon, is Tilt Performance Group. They've got an online thing that's going to happen, I believe, in 3 weeks, middle of October, called Gratitunes. And it's all original music that they're creating.
Love them.
I know, I do too. You can get information at tiltperformance.org, and we'll talk to Adam Roberts about getting him on the show before that happens.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. So, also reminding folks, I think it might be too late for you to get in on this, but the Shrewds are also doing something really clever called Letters from Camp. It's theater using the U.S. Postal Service.
I love it.
Me too.
You know, I still write letters. I'm one of those people that ask for stationery at Christmas time.
You must live in 18th century Russia. Or sorry, 19th century Russia.
I write letters. And I write them to the Grobes.
Who doesn't? Well, we were fortunate enough to travel in our Zoom machine this week up to Georgetown.
I know. You had a little tune-up on it, and now we're ready to go.
Yeah, well, let's go check that out.
Let's do it.
Nicole.
Lisa.
Thanks for meeting me in our Lyft car to drive up to Georgetown, because that's where the Zoom machine is.
Oh, that's very exciting. I couldn't figure out what was going on. This was a little different.
Yep. So we're just, it's not traveling as good as it did. So I just put the Zoom machine in Georgetown and we'll go there and see what happens.
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's open the door. Georgetown Palace. He's right here in the house.
Look at that.
And there's Ron Watson, who's been on the show 100 times. Hi, Ron.
Hi.
And we're here to talk to them about Steel Magnolias, and we're lucky to have a couple of the cast members and the director. And the director is Emily Taylor. Welcome to Offstage and On the Air, Emily.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You are quite welcome. And Lori Boyd.
Hello, thank you for having us here.
And Jill Jackson.
Hi, thank you.
Jill Jackson, we invited her because she is alliterative.
I try.
My dog Sophie is alliterative as well. Okay, so you guys are doing Steel Magnolias, which is a favorite all the time. We see it relatively frequently. So tell us about this production, Emily.
So for this production, we are going to be performing outside in a constructed space. In the palace, and we are trying to stay as true to the script as we possibly can, so sticking with the 80s setting and just trying to create the world that the playwright intended for us to do.
Okay. There is one person that listens to our show that lives in northeastern Ohio that has never seen or doesn't know anything about Steel Magnolias. So what is this story?
The story is basically about a connection between a group of women, and it follows the drama of one of the women who has type 1 diabetes and then the complications that she undergoes from pregnancy and giving birth to her first child.
Awesome. And Lori, what do you play? Whom do you play?
I play Malin, and Malin is the mother to Shelby, and Shelby is the diabetic that Emily was referring to. So I am her mother.
You play Malin. That's a fun role, actually.
Yes, it is.
And Jill, what
they
about
kind of
you?
All are though, Lisa.
They
I
are.
Always that's a fun. Oh, that's a fun. That's a.
It's a lot of nodding as I say that too in the Zoom machine.
Jill, what about you? Who do you play?
I play Shelby, the daughter of Malin. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I'm so thrilled that we have the powerhouses of this show sitting here with us in our Zoom. Ron, tell us about the decision to put this on now, and you're doing it outside. What kind of safety measures are you taking for the cast and creatives as well as the audience?
So they're all going to be wearing. We're still kind of debating over exactly what type of protection they're going to be wearing, but they're going to be wearing either face masks or the face shields. We actually experimented that a little earlier in the summer. We had a night of musical theater cabaret that was on the palace stage. It's actually indoors, and all the actors, and except if they were solo, when they were solo and they were completely by themselves, we were able to create 20 to 35 feet between anybody else. A couple of them took their shields off, but for the most part, they wore face shields the entire time. So we're experimenting with that. I don't know if we've actually settled on which face shield they're going to wear. So they are wearing those. The crew backstage will be wearing masks the whole time. During rehearsals, they've all worn masks. Every single rehearsal, they check, take temperatures. They ask them questions, whether they've noticed any new symptoms or not. And knock on wood, we've been very fortunate in that we've not had any issues, you know, up till now. But again, we've got to, just because we've been good so far, we've got to continue that vigilance and stay up with that. Of course, the crowd, we've been, this play is going to take place in the Palace Courtyard, which is our converted parking lot behind the Palace Theater. We've actually been doing, we've really done all of our events out there since I guess midsummer. We started doing outdoor movies. We've had musical cabarets. We actually had our performer Rod Sandiford there last night playing to us, completely sold out.
Wow.
Crowd, as many people as we could safely put into the parking lot. We've actually I take that back. We had about 87 there last night.
Ron, I'm sorry to cut in. The audience is not in cars. They are actually outside.
That is correct.
Separated into pods? Are you?
Absolutely. They're all 6 feet apart. We are our ushers and our house manager. They set up the seats based on the seating chart of who's coming and how many are in their party. Mm-hmm. And they set them in a little pod area for them. They measure out at least six feet. In most cases, they're actually more than 6 feet. As you could tell with the way the math works out, if you actually had only couples show up, if only two people come in a party and that's all that shows up, you've got to have a lot more room, and so you're going to be limited with the number of people.
Sure.
But because we've had large groups come, you know, six and seven in family groups, we've gotten a lot more. We did a showing of The Princess Bride as a quote along. We did Mamma Mia as a sing along. We had 100 people for both. And it was funny. My house manager came up to me and showed me the seating chart and showed me how many people were there. But looking at it, I was like, there's no way there's 100 people here because everybody was so spread out. So we're able to do that. And again, that's very, very, very important. In fact, one of the changes that we've had, our board adopted a policy in the very beginning when we were allowed to reopen, that we would require our face coverings on entry and exit. So if you were up out of your seat, you had to be wearing a face covering, zero exceptions. Weren't allowing any exceptions for that. When you come in, you got your temperature taken, you asked questions, all of those things. But we did allow them to take their masks off if they were in their seat, because when they were in their seat, they were more than 6 feet apart. This is just for the audience. The board has really just recently adopted to change that. Based on a couple of complaints that we had, and plus the majority of our patrons wanted this change. So we're actually now masks are required all the time. Every moment you're there, outside, inside, doesn't matter. You're required to wear a mask unless you're eating or drinking, and then you can take it off and put it back on when you're done.
Right.
Well, you get up out of that chair, you've got to put it back on.
So this play really has a lot of intimate moments. I don't remember how large the cast, it's five to six women that are all on stage at the same time. And so by nature, they would be very close. And plus, a lot of these moments, as I said, are intimate. How are you handling that in your staging during COVID?
So because of the extra precautions we've taken with making sure that everybody's going to be wearing some sort of facial covering, we do have moments where they do get close to each other or have a hug. But any time that I was able to sort of keep people a little bit further apart, I did my best to do so within the blocking. So we have sort of three main seating areas that are all spread apart. And because you're in a beauty salon for the entire show, it makes sense that most people would be sitting and just, you know, having their hair done. So for the most part, we are able to keep the actors and actresses or the actresses separated from each other. But there are those moments where it's just, you know, if Malin doesn't hug her daughter, it just seems kind of strange. So we do have those moments, but whenever we take breaks, we encourage people to, you know, use the hand sanitizer to wash their hands to make sure that they are being as safe as they possibly can be with interactions within each other.
So how's it been for you guys, Lori and Jill, just from a performing standpoint? Not only because of COVID-19, of course, that's going to make the rehearsal process very different, but how is it doing this piece?
Okay, I'll start out. As far as a performance standpoint, certainly rehearsing with the mask and the face shield, I've been practicing with the face shield. There's definitely challenges that we do face as performers. Whereas you're used to being able to touch your face, your hand runs into a face shield. So you have to adjust those movements. You have to really concentrate on your articulation and your projection, especially with the accents that are happening in the show, because they are very heavy Southern drawls. They're already a little bit softer. Trying to get that out through the mask is another challenge that you really kind of have to focus on. So those are those performance challenges that we've met. But working with this incredible ensemble of women, there are so many talented women in the show, and getting a chance to be back on the stage and helping the palace out has really been exciting for me.
Well, what about you, Jill? How's it been for you?
Yeah, I was definitely skeptical at first about having to, especially in callbacks and rehearsals, having to act with a mask. And I was like, half my face is going to be covered. How are we going to be able to connect? Because this show is so much about the ensemble and connection between all of these awesome, amazing women. And I was like, how are we going to be able to show that connection with like just our eyes? And then it just happens. And it's been great. And like with all of our cast members, I've been able to find moments of connection with our eyes, and I can tell what their face is doing even under the mask. And that's been really cool and really fun to really search for those moments and get to find them and get that satisfaction of connecting even across the masks. And I'm so excited to now start using face shields so we can see all of our faces.
Well, I wish this were being done video, because the amount of exuberance and passion that you show on our little video box here in Zoom is just amazing. So I know that will carry through.
I was just about to say that, Lisa. I'm like, I wish the audience could see that, but I bet you they feel it.
The interesting thing is, Nicole, I beat you to it. I said it first.
I know, because you're just that brilliant, Lisa Sheps.
Jill, Lori, and Emily, has this your first experience with Georgetown Palace? Anybody can answer first.
No, it is not. I've started working at the Palace first as a stage manager in 2016. And since then, I've acted for them. I do props for shows and I direct. And so I just kind of fell in love with the Palace and everybody that I've met up here. And I'm always excited to get to do another production here.
Awesome. What about you, Jill? Have you worked for...
Yes. I have done two shows at the Palace. I did Legally Blonde and Mary Poppins. So this is my first play with the Palace. So that's very exciting. And I've seen a million other shows here.
A million? I think you're exaggerating.
Maybe a little bit. Just a little, but
always
yeah.
Technical, Lisa.
What about you, Lori?
I was actually thinking about it today because I thought this question might come up. This is my ninth production.
Wow.
At the Palace since 2017. I've done both the Palace Springer stage shows, so our musicals, and the Palace Playhouse shows, so just a nice play. And in the summer, I've been fortunate enough to be involved in some of our Zoom dramas. And
wonderful.
Some of the Zoom cabarets that we've been doing to try and get people interested in the Palace and remind them that we're here.
We call those Zoomerays.
Zoomerays.
Well, great. Well, we just love the Georgetown Palace, and we love to have you guys on the show. Ron, what do you have coming up after Steel Magnolias in the theater zone?
So we've got the Elvis Project, which is a band. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're a 10-piece band. They celebrate the music of Elvis Presley. They're not necessarily just a tribute band. They're much more than that. They're doing a cabaret, and they're going to be doing it on Thursday night after, I think that's, what is that, October, I forget, October 15th or something like that. Yeah, it's the second weekend after Steel Magnolias opens. That show sold out in like 4 days. So that was awesome. So we're adding them back. They're coming back at the weekend after Steel Magnolias closes. They're going to come back and play a Friday night for us. We're going to do a Halloween movie. Steel Magnolias is going to be off that night. So we're going to show Hocus Pocus, the movie, and maybe even have some other Halloween activities. We're trying to figure out how to safely do that. So once we figure out that, we'll announce that as well. And then Tuna Christmas is coming. So that's a play that's born to be socially distant because there's only two people. The crew will be in masks. The two actors don't ever have to get very close.
Nope.
Maybe the one moment at the end of the show. So Tuna Christmas is going to open, I believe it's going to open the weekend of Thanksgiving. So we'll open that Friday right after Thanksgiving and run for a couple of weekends, see how the people react to that, and then we'll go from there.
Well, that's
after
great.
That's literally about as far as I'm able to plan, you know, just like everybody else, you kind of got to take this as it goes. Steel Magnolias is, people seem to be real interested in it. We're hoping it continues to build. So we're just about 2 weeks out. So we've had good response so far and hoping that continues to build.
Wonderful. Speaking of 2 weeks out, can you tell me what the dates? When does it open? When does it close?
It opens October 9th and then it closes November 8th.
So it's about a month if I'm doing my math right.
Five weekends, yeah.
Well, great. Well, Ron Watson, Emily Taylor, Lori Boyd, and Jill Jackson, thank you so much for joining us here on our Zoom machine at Offstage and on the Air.
Thank you for having us. We always love coming.
And best of luck. I totally didn't say, where do folks go to get more information for the show?
GeorgetownPalace.com. You can also find us on Facebook.
Okay, I've heard of Facebook, actually. So that's good. This is Steel Magnolias, October 9th through November 8th. You can find information at GeorgetownPalace.com. Once again, thank you for joining us in our Zoom machine.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Kudos to Georgetown for getting started during COVID. I think that Georgetown up there is probably a little less of a risk than to open something here in Austin. You know, most of the theaters here are being a little bit more conservative in terms of when we open.
I also don't think most of the theaters here have all the other options of space around places to move everything.
Well, there's also, I mean, ground floor theater has a lot of space, but there are permitting issues that are really hard to get around.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a couple more things on the national level. I thought this was interesting. In the New York Times, there is a review. And again, as many things in the New York Times, I wasn't sure whether they liked it or not, but the, this is the Critics Notebook. This is written by Jesse Green. And the headline is, Two of the Moment Monologues and a Multitude of Karens. So you have to read that, right?
You don't know which way to go on that one. I know what I was about to say. I think I know which headline she's
talking about. These are two one-person monologue shows on Zoom that sort of talk about white fragility and specifically what we've come to know of Karens. One is called, oh my God, I just lost the name of it. One is called, where's the title? For God's sakes, it's in my notes. One is called Jack Was Kind. And he calls it a nerve-wracking 70-minute live stream monologue. It's performed and directed, I believe, or written and performed by Tracy Thorne. 70-minute monologue on Zoom. I have to say no to that.
I couldn't sit through it. I'd pause it a lot. It would probably end up being like a 200-minute monologue from all the pauses I'd have to take.
Yeah, and so
you know, I had to pause just the 20-minute Father of the Bride Part 3 ish. I had to pause that. Well, I loved it, but I mean, I'm just short attention span.
It was cute. Sidebar: I have to tell a story.
Sidebar: It was cute. It was clever.
I am so gullible. At the beginning of this, they show Father of the Bride 2. And they are, and that's the credits. So they bring up Steve Martin in Father of the Bride 2, and they say Steve Martin under it. So they got all the credits. And at the end of Father of the Bride 2, there's two infants, right? Mm-hmm. Two twins. Right. And one of them, it said Ben Platt. And here, naive little me thinking, oh my God, Ben Platt was in Father of the Bride 2. Yeah, I thought the babies were. So halfway through it, I realized, no, he's in this one. He wasn't the actual baby in it.
That's why I told you to watch it. I was like, there's a nice little surprise you'll enjoy. Watch it.
But it's not true. I liked it better when
surprise? Did you like it when you popped on? Was it a surprise for you?
I don't think it was a surprise. My point is that I thought that the actor, the baby actor, was Ben Platt, and it wasn't. So the second, we'll go back to the two Karens. The second monologue was a 45-minute one called Karen, I Said, and it was performed, written and performed by Eliza Bent. And this one seems a little bit more interesting to me. She plays two different Karens. K-A-R-Y-N, who is less of a Karen. She's more of a progressive, super liberal person, snowflake, as we call them. And then the other one is Karen, K-A-R-I-N, and she goes to great lengths to say it's pronounced Karen. So this sounds a little bit more interesting, but still probably seems a little hard to see. That's it.
Yeah.
You can find that review on our website, offstageonair.com. You sent me a very interesting link about Broadway and drive-in movie theaters. Do you want to tell folks about this? This is happening. This particular one is happening in New York in either Brooklyn or Queens. And there's a picture of it. It looks amazing.
It does, I was about to say, did the picture just suck you in? Because it sucked me in. Like, I would totally go do that.
It did. So, and it is in Queens, by the way.
I was about to say, I think Queens was right. So they're doing a live performance, kind of similar to how I think they kind of took what like Super U did, what they performed in the back of their trucks. And so what they do is they're performing on a stage like you were at a drive-in and then broadcasting that live performance on the move screen. So you're seeing it broadcast live, like as if you were at a concert way far away, but then the performance is right. They're pictured on mirrored image of live and live broadcast and performance.
Right. So, and they also have little mini concerts to go in between. The first one happened on the 26th, and it was Phantom of the Opera.
Which I find interesting in the thing, but you know.
Yeah. It was starring Derek Davis and Ali Ewalt.
Derek is the Phantom we had on tour here.
Right, he's on the national tour. Interesting, and what I find interesting when you look at the picture, so if you can imagine a rock and roll stage, an outdoor rock and roll stage that we see, and you imagine the size of that, the image, the video image is bigger than
that.
Yeah, that's
what's so crazy. So it's not, you know, you go to a rock concert and you get broadcasted live, but not to that extent.
It's pretty amazing. So, so that's something to check out, and it's in Astoria, Queens, at Radial Park, and Astoria is really close to Manhattan. We've come to the end of the show. Well, Nicole, next week we're looking forward. We're going to talk to the folks from #ATXTheater. And that's a hashtag folks should start using in their social media when they start talking about theater, #ATXTheater. So that's something to do. And then, you know, find us in all the normal places.
The Facebook, the Stitcher, and offstageonair.com. And yep. You enter your little mailbox and yep. You arrive. Bing, we're there.
So great. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye.